And now, Barb Adams.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Barb Adams live here with you on America Now. Thanks so much for listening into this hour of the show. Well, during this hour, we're going to hear an inspiring tale of courage and survival. I think one of the most horrifying experiences humans fear is a shark attack. Unfortunately, that's exactly what happened to Nicole Moore, a nurse from Orangeville, Ontario. Tonight, we're going to hear her story as told by author and television host Peter Jennings. Together, Peter and Nicole have written a compelling real-life story entitled Shark Assault, an amazing story of survival. Peter's an author of both fiction and nonfiction books and hails from Ontario, Canada, where he's also the host of a monthly TV show, Be My Guest. If you'd like lots more information about Peter and Nicole and Shark Assault, visit their website, sharkassault.com. Peter, welcome to America Now.
Well, Barb, thank you very much for having me on. I'm delighted to be with you and your listeners, and I must tell you that having just listened to you and John Higgins talking about the debate about Apple and the creep factor and the Nevada and South Carolina election results, I'm going to be your sweet guest for the evening. No controversy here.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you
there you
so
go.
Much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're just going to venture into different waters now.
Indeed.
Yeah. Peter, what was your motivation for writing Shark Assault?
Well, that's a great question, Barb. After this terrible event happened to Nicole Moore, after the shark bites that she sustained, she almost lost her life, after the about 15 surgeries that she had to sustain her life, she came out of that as a very positive, very strong person, and she started doing presentations to groups of interesting people. A friend of mine happened to attend one of those, was blown away by her presentation, went up to Nicole afterwards and said, "You got to write a book about this." And Nicole said, "Well, you know, you're not the first person to suggest that, but the fact is, I really don't know anything about writing. I don't know anything about publishing. I happen to have dyslexia, which would make the whole process pretty onerous. So I don't think so." And my friend Sharon, who's redoubtable at best, said, "I've got a friend of mine, Peter. He's an author. I think the two of you would hit it off. May I connect the two of you?" And she said, "Well, okay." And Barb, I eventually met with Nicole. I somehow convinced her that I would tell her story. She could be comfortable with me. And that was back in 2013. And in November of 2015, Shark Assault, an Amazing Story of Survival, was published. So that's how I happened to get involved. It was strictly through a friend. It was through a chance.
Yeah, talk about what really did happen with Nicole. Give us the background.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. This goes back to January 2011. She and a group of friends from Ontario, Canada, had ventured down to Cancun, Mexico, just for a winter getaway, you know. And a lot of the girls had gone into town to buy souvenirs and stuff. And Nicole, who at that point was a very aggressive volleyball player, joined the team. She was playing volleyball. She had already signed on for a scuba diving lesson in the early afternoon. So volleyball finished, she went down to the ocean to basically wash the sand off her body before going over to the scuba diving place. She was waist deep in the water, 100 yards out from the shore, and she was viciously, brutally attacked twice by a bull shark. And of the give or take 400 shark species of the bull shark, it's considered by most experts to be absolutely the nastiest. She came very close to dying. She lost in between the ocean and when she was eventually pulled onto shore, she lost 60% of her blood. And Barb, I know nothing about medical situations, but I did an awful lot of research to learn about it. And what I did learn is that we as humans are not even supposed to survive losing that amount of blood. But somehow she did. And she was taken to a hospital in Cancun and eventually evacuated by jet back to a hospital in Toronto, where they were able to save her life. She came very, very close to dying. They eventually had to amputate her arm. They almost had to amputate her leg. And it was a gruesome story. But as I say, the book, Shark Assault, An Amazing Story of Survival, is really two stories in one, because the first part of the book recounts that awful, brutal attack. But the amazing thing about Nicole is that she is, to this day, an optimistic, a happy individual who is convinced that, you know, bad things happen to people, but we can all get over them. And that's her message, and that was my message in writing the book as well.
You know, Peter, your title you mentioned is Shark Assault, not Shark Attack. Why did you choose Shark Assault over Attack?
That's a great question, Barb. Number one, as an author, you got to have a website, and sharkattack.com was taken. but more than that, as I got to know Nicole and interviewed her probably a dozen times and interviewed her father, her husband, her kids, the people that she had traveled with, etc., it became very apparent to me that I guess a shark attack is a moment in time, whereas her whole life has been assaulted by this, both for the bad and for the good. Assaulted in terms of, as I said, you know, probably 15 operations going on and on and on, at first to save her life, and secondly to save her leg and give her mobility again. Secondly, this whole ability of her to look at the situation and say, hey, you know, stuff happens in life. This has happened to me. Other things that happened to her previously in her life, but I got to just get on with it and keep moving forward. So it was, to me, more an assault is an all-encompassing thing, whereas an attack is a moment of time.
Yeah, and her assault wasn't only from the sharks after reading the book. You know, that was kind of just the beginning of her ordeal. Talk about what happened when she arrived at the hospital.
Well, yeah, and listen, I don't want to diss hospital organizations, but she was brought onto the beach, and people did a whole bunch of things to try and save her. She, as a nurse, was helping them understand what they needed to do to save her. She was eventually evacuated off the beach in an ambulance to an organization called Hospitem. This is in Cancun. And Barb, if you or your listeners were to go on the Hospitem website, you'll find it's an organization out of Spain, and they have a number of hospitals. And I swear to you, if you go on their website, you would think you're reading about the Mayo Clinic. We have the best doctors, we have the best facilities, we have the best this, that, and the other thing. Nicole, as a nurse, will tell you, they saved my life. But I'm here to tell you that 5 days after she landed in that hospital and arrived at Sunnybrook Hospital in Toronto, Ontario, which is a renowned hospital, when she arrived there, they opened up the bandages on her arm and leg, and salt water and sand poured out. They had never changed the bandages.
We're heading to a break here, Peter. We're going to have to, we can carry it over a little bit. All right, stay with us. More from Peter Jennings on Shark Assault.
You're listening to Empowering Talk Radio, right here on America Now with Barb Adams.
All right, everybody, welcome back. My guest this hour, Peter Jennings. We're discussing Shark Assault, An Amazing Story of Survival. Peter, right before the break, you were talking about, you know, and I had mentioned the assault wasn't only from the shark. What Nicole had to endure, she was down there in the hospitals. And you had mentioned that when they opened up the wounds, when she got back to Canada, basically the sand and salt water was still there in her wounds. Go ahead and pick it up there.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking. And as I say, Barb, Nicole, being a nurse, will tell you that the people in Mexico saved her life, but they didn't go beyond that. I mean, here's another example. She was attacked twice by a bull shark. The first time, it took a 15-inch section of her left thigh, including two quadriceps and two hamstring muscles. It bit right through to the femur bone, and to this day, she has teeth marks on the femur bone in her leg from that shark attack. It eventually came back and attacked her arm. When she was eventually taken from the beach in an ambulance into the hospital, the general manager of the hotel, Carlos da Silva, who I interviewed extensively for the book, he was standing there with his head of security, and they were both shaking their heads. Nothing like this had ever happened. And all of a sudden, they looked down into the water, and there was the piece of her thigh that the shark had bitten, 15-inch section of her thigh, and spat out. They called for a bag and ice and sent it to the hospital. And I learned after that that apparently what you need to do if you're going to replace a piece of skin and muscle like that, it involves microsurgery. It's probably a 10-hour operation. You have to connect blood vessels, etc. They didn't do any of that. All they did was basically suture it back onto her leg. By the time she got back to Toronto 5 days later, this piece of skin was just rotting away. It was full of holes. And that's kind of part of the assault, because clearly, let's put it this way, they did not provide the level of care that we in North America would expect.
You know, Peter, Nicole being out there in the water, having been attacked like this very brutally, how was she able to muster the strength and courage to fight this thing off?
First of all, this shark attacked her thigh, and suddenly she is surrounded by blood. I mean, this is a very, very deep bite, taking out this huge part of skin and quadricep muscles, hamstring muscles. The ocean is ablaze in blood. She's standing there in shock and trauma, and realizing that sharks like blood, is this going to bring other sharks in? She needs to get in. She's about 100 yards out, even though waist deep, and she wants to get in to shore. Well, she's got one leg that's totally immobile. She's obviously dealing with the shock and trauma, so she starts trying to push her way in against the weight of the water and not doing very well. Fortunately, there were two guys on jet skis from the next hotel down who had been out trying to fend off two sharks that had been sighted. And they were both dealing with shock. I mean, they were the only two people that saw what happened, because there was nobody on the beach at this point. These guys saw what happened. They are absolutely shocked. They've never seen anything like it in their life. One of them finally said, I got to get in there because I could help make the difference between a death or a life. And he rowed in on his jet ski, grabbed Nicole's arm, and literally pulled her in and threw her up face down on the beach. And that got her onto the beach, and then people started arriving and started trying to help her as best they could. And she, as a nurse, amazingly, Barb, through all the shock and trauma and the loss of blood that she was experiencing, she was able to kind of shoot out orders to people like, tourniquet my arm, tourniquet my leg, help me. It was pretty awful.
Pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah,
miraculous.
Really. Yeah, it is a miracle. It's a miracle she's alive, not only because of the two shark bites, but, again, Barb, what I learned in doing my research for the book, a shark's mouth is full of pathogens. I didn't know this. Like, they're just germ-infested. Secondly, she's in the ocean, not terribly far out in shallow water. Who knows what's in the water there? And then she's thrown face down on the beach, on the sand. Well, who knows what's been going on there? When she arrived back in Toronto, she had the next thing to flesh-eating disease. I mean, again, when you say it's miraculous, it is a miracle this girl's still alive, in my opinion.
Yeah. Peter, shark attacks are on the rise, yet they remain pretty rare. I think I read a statistic that says you're more likely to be struck by lightning than attacked by a shark. What happened? What caused this? What was she doing that brought the shark to her? Or was this just a perfect storm event?
Well, you're absolutely right. It was a perfect storm. There were three situations that caused this to happen. I'll go through it very quickly. The first was, the year before in Cancun, there had been a series of tornadoes and storms, and they had wiped out the beaches. So the hotel owners and the tourist organization got together and said, we got to rebuild the beaches or we'll lose our business. They hired a firm from Europe. This firm came in, and they went further upshore to an estuary, found a source of sand, and they began bringing, you know, millions of tons of sand through trucks and scows and pipes and what all down to Cancun to fill in where the beaches had been. What they didn't know, and I don't blame them for this, what they didn't know is where they were taking sand out of this estuary was a breeding ground for sharks. Mm-hmm. And so eventually the sharks return to this area and go, wait a minute, where's our home gone? And particularly with the bull shark, which is one that attacked the coal.
Hang on there, Peter. We're heading to another break. We're going to have to pick it up on the other side. All right. Stay tuned. More to come here on America Now with Peter Jennings and Shark Assault.
You're listening to Empowering Talk Radio, right here on America Now with Barb Adams.
All right, we're learning about sharks with Peter Jennings tonight. Here's the book, Shark Assault, An Amazing Story of Survival. And, you know, Peter, you were talking about how what happened to Nicole, what all led up to this. You know, you had mentioned that the breeding area had been disturbed. We've got some disoriented sharks now.
Yeah, and particularly in the case of the bull shark, the experts told me you don't want a bull shark that is disoriented or annoyed. Get out of the way, because the bull shark is considered to be by most experts to be the nastiest of the 400-odd shark species. So, number one, we've got a bull shark that's really, really annoyed and disoriented. Secondly, earlier in the day on which Nicole was attacked, at the next resort up, they had seen two sharks swimming off their beach. This was extremely rare, Barb. I mean, they literally had never seen sharks there before. So they ordered everybody out of the water. What they didn't do was put the word up the beach. Now, I don't know whether you or your listeners have ever been to Cancun. I have. The fact is, I mean, it's resort after resort after resort. You could yell down the way and people would hear you, but they never did that. So here's poor Nicole entering into the water, and no one had warned her that don't do that. And then the third part of this perfect storm was she's waist-deep in the water, and she is digging down into the water and splashing water onto her body to clean herself off. And the bull shark is slight disadvantaged. And so when it sees that kind of splashing around, it thinks, oh, maybe there's a fish that's in dire need. I'll go over and see if I'll have lunch there. So between those three things, that's what happened. It was very, very rare.
Yeah. So where is Nicole today?
Well, right now, this very instant, she's in Mexico. She and her husband are there on vacation. She has gone back to Mexico. She continues to swim in the ocean.
Yeah.
She actually went back to the very beach in Cancun where she was attacked twice by the bull shark about a year later. And just to prove to herself that she could do it, she actually went into the water exactly where this thing happened, just to take ownership of it. But she can no longer be a nurse in terms of her traditional role, because She only has one arm, her left arm having been amputated because of the shark bite. She cannot wear a prosthesis because there's still a pain element that happens when she puts the prosthesis on. So she's now what's called a supervisor, which is basically a head nurse. She's not thrilled about that because of her own admission. She was a great nurse. She's a very, very caring person. And she doesn't get a chance to do that, but at least she's been welcomed back by the hospital and does have a job.
So, Peter, what does Nicole want people to know about what she went through?
I'm a guy who's been extremely fortunate in my life that I have met an awful lot of really, really neat people, some real top-tier people, and I have to put her right at the top in terms of her optimism, her positivism, her happiness. She had a lot of things happen to her that were negative in her early life. She had this terrible, brutal situation where she came so close to dying and endured 15 surgeries, unbelievable pain, her arm hacked off, she almost lost her leg, recently has had more surgery on her legs, and yet she's just a happy individual. And what she wants, and frankly what I wanted in terms of writing the book, is for people to understand that, hey, you know what? Stuff happens. Life can get you down. You can face challenges, but you got to move on. And it's not all bad. So, keep moving forward. Keep after the zest in your life, and everything will be fine. That's what she wants people. And I must tell you, both she and I are getting tons of phone calls, emails, people saying, wow, what an inspirational book.
You know, when you think about the perfect storm, Peter, and what Nicole endured, you have to wonder if there wasn't a higher order to all of this where she was, unfortunately, the perfect person to have to go through something like this so that her message could reach so many millions of people and inspire them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Barbara, I know, I think it was a week ago, you had Dr. Stephen Sinatra on. He talked about Tommy Rosa and this, how he was kind of whisked off into this tunnel of light. When she was lying on the beach, literally dying, at one point, she told me, I was just enveloped in this wonderful, warm, bright, white light. And I just thought, oh, I'm just going to go to sleep. That's all she wanted to do. But the nurse in her somehow said, no, don't do that. Don't surrender to that, because if you do that, it's adios. You're gone. And so she managed to pull herself out of that white aura and keep kind of pushing to survive and telling people around her, tourniquet my arm, tourniquet my leg. I mean, as she was breathing, every time she took a breath, there was a 15-inch spurt of blood going into the air from her leg. I mean, it was unbelievably bad. So she came that close to dying, just like Mr. Rosa, feeling that white light, ready to duck out. But she came back. And you're right, there has to be a higher reason for that she forced herself back, and today that she does public speaking. I attended the speech that she did, 45-minute speech, and there's that old line about you can't hear a pin drop. I mean, the audience just sat there going, wow, wow. I mean, they can't believe it.
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah. Her story is so inspiring, and thank you. And it's interesting, and again, no coincidence, the two of you were brought together to bring this story forth. I don't believe in coincidence.
I have to tell you, I'm extremely lucky that my friend Sharon, as I said earlier, saw Nicole speaking, and just happened to say, no, you got to meet my friend Peter. And fortunately, when Nicole and I met, she somehow I managed to communicate to her that she could trust me to write her story and that I would treat her fairly and tell the story well. I'm a lucky guy. I must tell you, Barb, I am better for having written this story and for having met Nicole. Her enthusiasm for life has rubbed off on me. I, like anybody else, will have the odd blue day, you know, where I just go, well, and anytime I'm feeling at all down, I'll suddenly think of Nicole and go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
She can be a happy camper. I sure as hell can, too.
What a gift. What a gift she is in this world. All right, everybody, stay tuned. There's more to come. All right, everybody, welcome back. Peter Jennings, my guest this hour. We're discussing shark assault, an amazing story of survival. And Peter, you know, we were talking before the break about, you know, the inspiration that Nicole is. But, you know, as much as this is an amazing story of survival, this is really a message about an amazing story of inspiration, because she has gone on by her choices, you know, to live and be an example to others of not give up. Don't give up, and not only that, not live in the PTSD of whatever happened to her.
Yeah, absolutely, Barb. She truly is an amazing person, although it's funny. She and I kind of joke because we do presentations about the book, and she wants people to just think she's a normal person who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I joke with her and say, well, Nicole, I don't think you're really normal. I think you're quite exceptional. So her message is, I'm normal enough. If I can get over this, anything that's going on in your life that you find challenging, you can get over too. And I certainly agree with that. She is always about empowerment of the individual to overcome stuff that happens to you. We all face adversaries in our life in one way or another, some really strong, some less strong, but we're all going to meet adversity, and she's just about empowering yourself to get over that. I know, Barb, that you believe in freedom of choice, and that's what Nicole is all about. You know, hey, you have a choice. You can get mired down by the things that happen to you and just, you know, kind of put your life aside, or you can say, darn it all, I'm going to beat this. I mean, stuff happens. I'm going to overcome it. That's her choice, and her choice is indeed inspiring.
Yeah, she takes that attitude of gratitude, you know, and it makes all the difference in how she radiates this to others. And as you said, you know, even if you didn't know what happened to her, it's just that ripple out effect of the energies that she carries. And I have to wonder, though, Peter, after you were researching and writing this book, Shark Assault, how do you personally feel now about sharks and going into the water?
Well, you know what? We were talking earlier about how rare an event this is, and that perfect storm that happened that created this, which would be hard to replicate again. I love swimming in the ocean. I'm not a pool guy. I'm an ocean guy. I just got back a week ago from a week in St. Lucia in the Caribbean. I was in the ocean five times, six times a day. So I do believe that, and Nicole believes very strongly, she does not want anybody to think you should not swim in the ocean if that's what you're all about. She continues to do so. That being the case, you got to be mindful. If your listeners want to go on sharkassault.com, there is a page on our website that gives you some tips that will help you avoid being a shark's lunch. And just very quickly, let me go over a couple of them. Avoid swimming at dawn or dusk. That's when sharks are feeding. That's when they come in close to shore. Avoid swimming with really bright jewelry. Sharks are sight disadvantaged. So if you've got something that's really shiny and shimmering, they don't know it's jewelry. They're going to say, oh, that's a fish. That's a glint coming off a fish. I think I'll go out and have a chomp. You want to avoid swimming anywhere near where there's effluent coming into the water, or whether there may be fishermen, some local boys, who are cleaning fish and throwing guts into the water. That's what the sharks go for. Don't swim near there. So there are a bunch of things like that. Go on sharkassault.com. Learn to, you know, kind of take care of yourself. But I and Nicole continue to swim in the ocean despite what happened to her.
Do you think the sharks are getting a bad rap? I know that, you know, things are, that, you know, it is true that there is a rise in the increase in attacks, but I think there's some real reasons. You know, we've got warming oceans, and we've probably got more people going into the water.
Well, and that's an excellent point, Barb. There are more and more people in the world. There are more people with wealth who are able to travel on vacation or whatever to beaches, who are swimming in the water, and that creates more incidents. So, yeah, the stats go up. I mean, I was reading something not long ago, and they were talking about the period of 2008 to 2011 between then and now, and saying, well, shark attacks are up. And I go, well, hold on. What was happening between 2008 and 2011? A worldwide recession.
Yep.
What did that mean? People didn't have money, ergo, they weren't traveling to vacation spots, they weren't swimming in the sea. So you have to be really, you have to be very careful about statistics. You know, that being the case, you also have to be careful with where you're swimming and how you're swimming. You're right, the oceans are warming. Sharks are moving further north. That created the situation in the Carolinas last summer, as you know, where two kids were attacked by a shark.
Mm-hmm.
People have to be mindful, you know.
Yeah, there was actually an attack off New York.
Yes.
This past year too. So yeah. they are moving further north.
Oh yeah, I mean off New York. That heretofore you would never have found a shark that far north. But
yeah.
they're moving north as the oceans warm up.
Yes.
And people have to be mindful. People have to be careful.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you shouldn't swim in the sea. George Burgess, one of the three international shark experts in the world whom I interviewed for the book, George is with the International Shark Attack File in Florida, and he investigates every known shark attack in the world. He told me, Peter, I know you like swimming in the ocean. Understand this. When you swim in the ocean, you are always within 50 to 100 yards of sharks.
Wow.
But you know what? You don't bother them. They're not going to bother you. But you got to know they're out there.
Yep.
So don't antagonize them.
That's an interesting one. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, just in terms of them being, you were saying they're misunderstood, I talked to a couple of people, one of them being Wendy Benchley, the widow of Peter Benchley, who wrote Jaws. And as Wendy said, Peter was really sorry that he wrote that book because he created an unreasonable fear of sharks. And he really regretted that he had done that and that the movie had come forward. Mm-hmm. I also talked to Dr. Eugenie Clark, who died last year at age 93. When I talked to her, she was 92. And, Barb, she'd just come in from a scuba diving research expedition. And I sure hope I'm scuba diving when I'm 92.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, she told me, she said, sharks are so misunderstood. She said that people only realize what magnificent animals they are, and how they really have zero interest in humans. Well, I shouldn't say zero. They have little interest in humans unless they're provoked.
Right. It's not personal.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we go any further, Peter, definitely want people to know where they can get your book.
Well, it is available in bookstores. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get the Kindle version. You can go on our website, sharksaw.com. And, may I just crow for a moment, Barb, that the book is doing really well. Literally within a month of it coming online last November, my publisher ordered a reprint. Reader's Digest has discovered the book, and they're doing a 4,000-word excerpt of the book around the world in several languages in July. So I'm really pumped.
Oh, well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It's a topic, you know, but when you pick up the book and you look and you see a picture of Nicole there, you know, unfortunately missing her left arm, the title Shark Assault with the, you know, and with Jaws having been out there, I think, you know, so many people have this inordinate fear of sharks. And Sci-Fi Channel is not helping either. We've got Sharknadoes out there.
No, for sure, for sure. We designed the cover to be provocative of that at that point. But, again, I'm hoping people will maybe pick it up because of that, to your point. You know, people are fascinated by that. But what I really want them to get out of the book, and I know Nicole is the same way, by the time they put it down at the end, is to be inspired by her incredible attitude of moving on and being happy and being optimistic and positive. I mean, that's all about it.
And that theme of the book comes through very, very strongly. You both did an excellent job with it. Peter, we're running out of time here.
Okay.
I want to thank you for having joined me this evening. And again, everyone, the book is Shark Assault, An Amazing Story of Survival, Peter Jennings and Nicole Moore. Peter, thank you so much.
Barb, thanks so much for having me on America Now. It's been my pleasure.
All right. And best of luck. It sounds like it's going to be a big bestseller. All right, everyone, stay around. There's more to come here on America Now.